With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans Podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast. It is another game day, the second night of a back-to-back, but the good thing about it, it's a win. That's what we'll be talking about and celebrating, even though it was a long night. We'll explain that here as well. If you don't know what we're talking about, Jim Eichenhoff for NewOrleansPelicans.com joining us here in the opening segment, and then he will join us when we interview Christian Clark of The Advocate and Picayune. Covers the Pels, covers the NBA. He's also been trying to figure out how that new TV deal is going to go, and even though, Jim, you're negotiating that, right? You're the lead negotiator for the New Orleans Pelicans.
They wouldn't
Pelicans
trust
on
me
that.
To do something as important as that. Sorry, Gus.
I was making sure. I know you want your own digital channel. Hey, last night was something else. Pelicans at New York, the Knicks not having all of their starters there as well. But as you know, that's also the same thing that happens when the Pelicans sometimes play. And they had to take care of business, had to go get that win. Thank goodness Trey Murphy was ready to fire away.
Herb between circles, shot clock at 8. Whip it over to Trey. Right wing 3 online and rinsed again. Kenneth Murphy III, have a night. Timeout, Tom Thibodeau, lights out at the Garden.
Todd Graffinini with the call there in the Pelicans Radio Network. 6 threes for Trey Murphy. Head coach Willie Green on the win.
We executed better in the second half. Starting with taking care of the basketball. You know, we had a few turnovers late, but we executed better. We got stops. We played with force. Getting downhill, even though we didn't have a ton of transition points, we played forceful in our offense, which allowed us to get easy looks. And then Trey hits some big shots. Matt Bryan comes in, hits some big shots in that third quarter.
Zion Williamson finished with 21 points. It was efficient enough to get that W. His thoughts on the victory.
I said it a few games ago, and probably last game. Even though his shot hasn't been where he's wanted it to, he's been affecting the game in other ways. So to see him back in that form was dope to watch, especially the baseline dunk. He shot me with that one.
As for Trey, as we mentioned, 6 threes for him. He finished with 26 points to lead the Pelicans in scoring.
Great. I mean, it's funny that you say that. Like, last game, I was 3 for 9 from 3, but a lot of them felt really good. And so I counted my head as makes. Obviously, they weren't makes, but, you know, I was looking at this Paul Pierce podcast, and there was one game he had like 48 points, but like the first half he was 1-for-14, and he was talking about how like they all felt good, so he came out with like a whole lot of confidence, and I think it bled over into this game.
So, Jim, when you take a look at it, the Pels knocking down 18 threes in that game, and it really came at the right time. Only 2 from Matt Ryan, but, man, were they big there as well. Hawkins had some. Herb Jones, again, continues his hot streak from the corner when he's open, knocking down threes. Those shots are so big, but overall, that win, you needed that in a 115-92 victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a close game for most of the night. It wasn't the kind of thing where you could think that you got this in hand. And then in the fourth quarter, they were almost perfect. I think they made 7 out of 7 from 3-point range, and they made something like their 10 of their first 11 shots from the field. So all of a sudden, they got really hot and put the game away. Trey Murphy was on fire in that fourth quarter. He had 4 3-pointers and 16 of his 26 points. So it was interesting, too, to think about. You know, I talk sometimes about the volatility of the 3-point shot for a team and the variance from game to game. It's interesting that that was their third best 3-point percentage of the season against the Knicks on Tuesday. On Friday, it was their worst of the season against Miami. So it's the kind of thing where you just never know what you're going to get. And unfortunately, you can't really control for that. You kind of have to be able to still try to win games when you're not making threes. But man, when they go down like that, especially for this Pelicans team being sixth in the NBA in defense, when they're shooting threes like that, it's going to be really tough to beat them.
Jim, we keep talking about it. The 3-point shot in the NBA, it honestly is the difference whether or not you win or lose sometimes. I mean, it just honestly, it is. What else really stood out to you from that win yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan was huge to be able to come in the way that he did. And, you know, I thought the Pelicans did a good job taking advantage of some of the areas that the Knicks were struggling in. I thought the Knicks helped out definitely, too, by not having a good 3-point shooting game. They were 14 for 46. It felt like they were insistent that they were going to take them even if they weren't going in. And I thought there were times when if the Knicks weren't so cold, they may have been able to get a little bit of a lead or take kind of a little bit of control in the game. But fortunately for the Pelicans, as good as the Pelicans were from beyond the arc, the Knicks were pretty much that bad for most of the game.
We'll take it for sure. Then you know you had to go play Indiana tonight, a team that's coming off of a tough loss against the Raptors, didn't play up to their capability. That's one that I probably would have, you know, bet my son's college tuition on that they were going to get a win. And that's why I don't bet, because they didn't win. Toronto beat them.
Right.
So you got them tonight, so they're rested and waiting. And then you have what happened last night. The team wins. They get on their plane. Jen Hale, sideline reporter and host for Bally Sports New Orleans, then tweets this morning at like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Road life, 11 p.m., board flight for Indy after beating the Knicks. Midnight, informed, right engine on the plane broke down. 2:45 a.m., deplane. Board plane, the Warriors just flew in. 3:15 a.m., takeoff for Indianapolis. 5 a.m., land in Indianapolis. 6 a.m., go to bed. We have a tip for 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Look, I understand maybe some fans don't get that. You live the life of the travel and all that. Mm-hmm. It sounds good, but that's tough, right? That's tough because it throws you out of your routine. You're already on Eastern time. And I don't know. I mean, do you wake up late? Do you try to sleep late? Do you try to get a nap in? When do you do film study? It compresses a lot of things that you normally would do at a certain time already on a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. And now it just adds another element to it tonight.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't ask me, but my approach to this would be is to let everybody sleep in as much as they possibly can at a certain point in the day when you feel like, okay, everyone's gotten a decent enough amount of sleep. Then you start having your meetings and getting ready for the game that way. But I mean, there's no doubt this was already going to be a big challenge. Even if they had gotten to Indianapolis at 11 p.m. or midnight, which is early by NBA standards, the fact that the Pacers are second in the NBA in offensive efficiency, first in field goal percentage, first in paint points, they're 17-2 when they've scored 130 points or more, which, I mean, the 17-2 part of it is impressive, but the fact that they've done it 19 times is pretty incredible. Kind of tells you the way that the direction that the NBA is going. So this is going to be one of the biggest defensive challenges of the season for the Pelicans, not only Wednesday, but they also play the Pacers on Friday as well. So you factor in the lack of sleep, and somehow, some way, they're going to have to get past that mentally and not go into this game thinking, you know, man, we got in late. There's no chance that we're going to be on top of our game. They're going to have to just refocus and get to the point where they can lock in at that end of the floor, because really, you know, this is the kind of team they're playing against that can run you off the floor and bury you under a bunch of three-pointers if you're not sharp defensively.
Now look, Dallas didn't have one of their main players when this happened in the past, when the team left Denver and had to play Dallas the next day and did win. But it has happened before, and this team did respond well. So it is interesting to sort of see it. And look, there's only 23 games left, including tonight. So they're all very precious.
Yeah, it's crunch time right now. And I know as we record this, we still haven't seen the injury report for Wednesday's game. We don't know what C.J. McCollum's status is. We don't know if there's going to be some other changes based on it being a back-to-back. But regardless, I think we've seen players like Matt Ryan and Jordan Hawkins and other guys, when they've been given an opportunity to play more and contribute more, they've responded well. So maybe that'll be the case as well tonight, where, I mean, Dyson Daniels' injury lately has opened up some more minutes for different guys as well. So that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be, if you're in a position where you haven't played as much and you get a chance tonight against Indiana, you're going to have to deliver and give them a chance to pick up a win, which would create a very excellent road trip to be able to go 2-0 on this.
Well, let's bring in our guest now, Christian Clark of The Advocate and The Picayune. We'll talk a little bit about his thoughts on that. And more importantly, when we come back after we chat with Christian, Western Conference Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, time now to welcome in our guest, Mr. Jim Eichenhofer. Always a pleasure when Mr. Christian Clark from The Advocate and Picayune covers your Pelicans and the NBA joins us. You can give him a follow over on X at CClark_13. Christian, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Doing fine. I would say we're probably all better or at least well-rested or more rested than the Pelicans. We have to start with that. It's nuts. Well, Christian, as you find out this morning that the team didn't get to Indianapolis to 6 a.m. with a 7:30 tip Eastern time. I don't know your thoughts on that, man.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think the average NBA fan probably understands at this point, like NBA travel schedule is absolutely brutal. I mean, you know, in a perfect world, you probably don't want the second night of a back to backs. But hey, look, it's a reality of an 82 game season. There's just going to be some nights when you get in at like 4 or 5 a.m., you know, sleep till 11 or noon and then go have to play a game that night. You know, this is something that's happened to the Pelicans before. It's kind of something that happens to all the teams, really. You know, like it seems like it's just like a once a season thing. It's like there are just these nights where it's like, well, we got in at 5 a.m. and I'm a zombie and I got to go play a game tonight.
I think one of the most frustrating parts of this specific case was you expected it to be a pretty easy night. I mean, most of the time when you travel from East team to East team, those cities are so close together that you really never have any really long flights. So you're thinking, okay, we'll probably get to Indianapolis at, you know, 12:30, 1 a.m., which is, I mean, by NBA travel standards, that's an outstanding night if you're in your bed by, you know, 1:30. I know from the experience that I had of doing that for a bunch of years, but that's the tough part is like you think it's going to be a relatively manageable night, and here it is, and it's 6, 7 a.m., I'm sure, by the time guys got to sleep.
And that's the thing. Look, we all three of us have traveled in a certain capacity, right, covering teams, Christian. And obviously, look, even when I did Saints back in the day, it was commercial. So commercial is different than charter. And sometimes even charter, you know, you struggle with it as well. And a lot of times I think people don't get – I mean, we're creatures of habit in routine, right? With time we go to shoot around, with time we write our stories, with time we do our podcast, with time we do that. And as athletes, the same thing too. But you don't really sleep or rest while you're traveling, even if it's a bus and even if it's a plane. It does take a toll on you, doesn't it?
I mean, speak for yourself. I'm like an incredible plane sleeper.
I cannot. That is.
I'm jealous.
I cannot at all.
I'm like the Michael Jordan of sleeping on Southwest flights. I've seen every Southwest in-flight movie, and I've slept on all of their planes.
That's incredible. That's good. But I guess let's see what takes place, because this is not the first case that this has happened, Jim. Right, Dallas.
Yeah. That one was not unexpected. That one was more like you knew going in when you played at Denver and then had to fly to Dallas with the logistical issues that are caused by Denver's distance between the city and the airport. So, yeah, that one was planned. But like I said, I mean, this is more challenging just from the standpoint that I can't imagine that you ever thought that this would be the case.
That was a scheduled pain in the neck. Christian, before we get into some of the things specifically on this team and moving forward here, what did you think of the win last night?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a slow start offensively in the first half, you know, only putting up 48 points against this Knicks team that not only did they not have their starting front court, but also, you know, no Jalen Brunson, no Isaiah Hartenstein. This was a game I think the Pelicans really needed to take care of business in. I was really encouraged by what I saw in the second half. I thought James Borrego kind of hit the nail on the head at halftime when he was like, our spacing was terrible in the first half, looked a lot better in the second half, and just great to see Trey Murphy, you know, look like the guy we're accustomed to seeing and shake out of that slump a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, another guy who's been so impressive to me has been Herb Jones. I mean, how surprised are you or impressed with the way that he's, I mean, he's 12th in three-point shooting percentage right now in the NBA. He's slightly ahead of some guys that people may have heard of, such as Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. I mean, what do you think of just the leap that guy's made from an offensive standpoint?
I mean, it's ridiculous, man. I mean, you could just tell he's getting his shot off quicker than he ever has before. Like, he's just stepping into them really confidently right now. Like, he's not thinking about it at all. He's just letting them fly. And, you know, that's a sign of a guy who's in a really great place mentally. I mean, if you just look at his catch and shoot 3-point percentage, I think he's at like 43%, something like that, on 3.5 attempts per game. The volume, the percentage are up. I mean, we know what Herb does on the defensive end. It's been really cool to watch. And I think he's a guy who, you know, like it's said about a lot of guys, oh, this guy is such a hard worker. I think it's very true for Herb, you know, like that it's very, very true. Like no one, I really don't think anybody, you know, works harder out on airline drive than Herb Jones. So it's good to see, you know, those guys have success. Maybe Jim Eichenhofer does, yes. But I don't know.
I was just about to say that you overlooked me in that comment about hardest worker on airline drive, but no, it's cool that you made up for it before I had to step in and correct you there. No, I thought it was interesting too what Trey Murphy said after the game against the Knicks last night, where he said it's astounding to think about that when he played with Herb Jones in Summer League 3 years ago, Herb was hesitant to shoot, and a lot of times even if he was wide open, he wouldn't take the shot. He would give it up to somebody quickly and like try to look to figure out how to set a pick on somebody. So, I mean, I can't compare anything that I've ever seen in the NBA with the leap that he's made from his rookie year to now. So that's just been, you know, astounding.
I was going to just jump in on that because it is crazy to think, Christian, if he had this kind of offensive game coming out of the draft, right, with that ability to play defense and an ability to play offense, you wonder if he would have been there for the Pels to even grab, you know?
I mean, totally. If like you go back and look at his Alabama career, like basically didn't take threes his first 3 years. I mean, you know, was just pretty much a non-shooter's first 3 years. And then, you know, in that last year under Nate Oates, started to take them a little bit, showed some modest improvement. But I don't know if people fully bought that or anything like that. I mean, I think they knew what he was just as a basketball player and definitely as a defensive player, but I don't know if people bought the 3-point shooting. And, you know, he's passable when he came in. Like I think he was fine as a rookie, but like to think that he's gotten to this level this year, it's kind of crazy. I didn't see this coming.
You know, speaking of how much improvement he needed to make too, Gus and I talked about this recently. He wasn't even a good free throw shooter in college too. So, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, like you just mentioned, he made a nice improvement as a rookie and in his second year in the NBA compared to college from the 3-point line where he shot 30. He was at 33% roughly these first two seasons. And now he's at 43, which is amazing to be able to go up that much. But even free throw wise, he's at like 85%. And in college he was like low 60s. Right. I mean, that's incredible. That's just to your point, Christian, is far as just how much he's worked, there's no way you can do that unless you are constantly in the gym and you're focused on it and it's something that you're just sticking with. And I think, you know, there's been stretches too in his first 2 years, even last season toward second half of the season, where he had some games where he made a shot, a couple air balls, and it would have been easy for him to just get discouraged and to be like, you know, I'm making progress, but it's not at the level that I want it to be. So, you know, for him to just keep sticking with it is, it's also a credit to him, just the work ethic that he has. So
he took a technical foul shot against the Bulls, right? Pretty sure.
Did he?
I think he took a tee.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And it's deserved too. You know, sometimes a coach or a team will hand a guy a technical free throw because, you know, they want to get him an extra shot, or they say like, okay, he's made some improvement. Maybe he's not the best free throw shooter, but from a team standpoint, let's give him it. But I mean, when
is that much thought into it, really?
Yeah, sometimes there is, but I mean, when you look at the stats, it's like, yeah, he deserved to be taking the free throw because he's the best free throw shooter probably on the court at that time. You know, I talked about Trey Murphy's reaction to Herb. One of the things that I noted from Willie Green's post-game interview last night was, you know, Willie doesn't use a lot of hyperbole in his interviews. And one of the words that he used to describe when Trey Murphy is making shots is it's devastating to our opponent, which I took note of that just because Willie does not traffic in those types of descriptions. So I thought that was interesting the way that he put that. How big do you think it was to see Trey have that kind of game and going forward, if he's able to, you know, even approach those type of performances, how much of an impact is it going to make for the Pelicans?
Yeah, I thought it was huge. I mean, I think, you know, that's definitely accurate that Trey Murphy is, you know, one of the biggest X factors on this team. I mean, you know, this was a guy who started a ton of games last season and, you know, really looked good in that expanded role. And when he came back from left knee surgery this year, initially, I thought he looked really good, was playing some confident basketball. And then, you know, these last few weeks has just kind of been in a little bit of a rut. And, you know, to me, it's just kind of looked mental. Like it's really hard in the NBA. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have these like crises of confidence. And like, to me, it just looked like a guy who got his confidence back against the Knicks. I thought it was a really cool moment when, you know, Will, he made his 6-3 of the night, and him and Willie Green like kind of chest bumped near midcourt. And I think Willie Green said, "Welcome back," basically. I mean, I think that summed it up really well. It's like, yeah, this is the guy we're used to seeing. And I mean, you know, like it's not only like he's a good 3-point shooter, it's just like the range. Like he's one of those guys that's comfortable taking threes like a few feet from behind the 3-point line.
Yeah, the 3-point line, the 3-point shot, Christian and Jim, is so big and can be devastating, right? At the timing, a lot of it too. Didn't see a lot of minutes. I may or may not have been texting some people about getting him in the game. In comes Matt Ryan, late third quarter, knocks down those two big threes. In the box score, Christian, it just says 6 points. But at that time, those threes pushed it to 10-point leads when the game was still somewhat in doubt there. And then eventually the Pels kind of got a little bit more comfortable. Just to be able to sort of have that, I almost still think Willie and this team still trying to learn when those pieces go. But I guess we look at it like this: to have that ability, to have that weapon of a guy that can just walk in. And I thought it was interesting after the game, Willie said this guy does all kind of cardio and is ready and is in shape. That's hard to do. I mean, like in baseball, you have the pinch hitter, right? That doesn't play anything, but is expected to deliver a 2-out, 2 RBI base hit or something. It's kind of hard what Matt Ryan did, huh?
I mean, totally. Yeah. I mean, the game against Chicago, that was like the first real run he'd gotten in 3 months. And he comes off the bench and hits 4 threes. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like to go basically 3 months in between playing. I mean, I guess like maybe a good comparison, that's like a reliever in baseball, because you don't really know when you're going to be used. But if you're like a shooter, you got to bring it. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a okay comparison. But yeah, I'm glad Matt Ryan got in the game last night. I really, you know, I took note when Willie Green only played 8 guys in the first half. I was like, wow, first night of a back-to-back, we're on an 8-man rotation. Second half opened up his rotation a little bit. Matt Ryan was that 9th guy and, you know, showed why Willie Green put him on the court. Those were big shots. It's good to see him kind of tie his minutes to Zion. Zion plus shooting.
That's a good point. Right? When he drives, I mean, it's going to be out there, and you want somebody that can be devastating to that. You know, have we seen the lineup? Maybe it's my just dream fantasy lineup of Zion with Matt Ryan, Hawkins, and Trey Murphy surrounding him on the arc.
Yeah, I don't know if we've seen it or not.
I don't think.
I don't think so.
Hopefully they don't have to play defense at all and can just play offense.
Well, I didn't say about that. For like 10 seconds to see if it works or not. But
tonight might be a good opportunity.
Well, tonight may happen. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, although that might be a challenge against Indiana being the second-ranked offensive team in the league and a team that's put up huge numbers. You know, Christian, while we have you too, I wanted to ask you, kind of switching topics a little bit, I wanted to ask you about the reporting that you've done on the Pelicans and Gray TV, as well as just teams around the NBA that have kind of started to change their approach to local TV broadcasting. I guess I could start with, I mean, what do you think are maybe a couple of the most important things that fans should know about either specifically the Pelicans with Gray TV or just kind of the direction that teams are going? What you expect are going to be some of the ways that things change with how teams operate with their local TV contracts?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, we're kind of in this big transformative period in all forms of media right now, and people are trying to figure out, like, what's the model that works post-cable? What could that look like? Because, you know, cord-cutting has been a thing for the last 10 years and will only continue to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I don't know. I think that the Pelicans, you know, part of the reason they exercised their right to take 10 of their games and show them on great TV stations. It allowed them to kind of see, like, okay, you know, if we make these games free, what is our audience going to look like? You know, this gives them opportunity to do a test run before the summer when they're going to have to make a decision again. Are they going to go back to Bally, which looks like it's kind of be resuscitated by that Amazon investment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people are wondering, like, are some of those Bally partners, are their games going to be streamed on Amazon Prime next season? And I think that's TBD. We still don't really know. So I think the question is, like, are the games going to be streamed next year? Are they going to be, you know, over the air like we've seen the Phoenix Suns do this year? I mean, I just think in this region, definitely, like, the biggest reach possible, that's going over the air. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think what happens is TBD.
And you talked about in terms of reach, and you've brought up metrics in your reporting here as well. We even talked about it just when the Gray TV deal took place, going from hundreds of thousands of possible viewers to millions of possible viewers. What have the Suns seen when it comes to metrics?
Yeah, so to your point, that's something the Pelicans, you know, noted when they did take 10 of their games and went to Gray this year. They're like, look, under the old agreement with Bally, we had the potential to reach 700,000 people with Gray, and over the air we could reach 7 million people. So they're kind of 10xing their potential audience. And look, the Phoenix Suns were the team that kind of changed everything when they said, we're not going to go back to Bally. We're going to partner with Gray and make all of our games over the air for free. They have seen a 94% increase in their audience watching games this year. So they've basically almost doubled their viewing audience this season as opposed to last season. So, you know, in terms of just viewership, it's definitely been a success.
There's two things that I think of that, Jim and Christian. A, that's advertising, right? I can go to advertisers and say, this is how many more people you're watching or being able to see, so you can increase your advertising. And secondly, he's going to want like 8.2 or 8.3, the Jim Eichenhofer channel. I mean, as I'm just telling you right now, he's going to want his own digital channel. So, you know, kind of like the Manning cast is going to be the Eichenhofer cast. He's just going to be able to broadcast while the game's going on.
I don't know if the viewing audience is ready for that, to be honest with you guys.
Though, like, I mean, those are real metrics that when you sit down in a meeting of important people with big chairs and suits, Christian, that helps. And look, if you want to get, I look at it this way. It's, we would love people to come to games all the time, right? But whether it's families, it's weekdays, it's tough to come to 40 plus games at home and get that kind of audience. But to be able to still follow, to be able to see, look, you've seen somewhat of that over 20 years, Christian, where I can't go anywhere in the city now and not see a Pelicans hat, a Pelicans shirt, a Pelicans jersey. That was not always the case. So I do think people are watching, and I do people think want to watch. And I think that's just as important as trying to get to a butt in a seat.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I've really, you know, kind of compared and contrasted the NFL and like how they service their fans at the local level versus the NBA. And it just seems a lot better for NFL fans at the local level than an NBA fans. It's easy to watch the games. You know, there's fewer games, so it feels like each game is an event. And, you know, I think that's like part of the reason the NBA, or I'm sorry, the NFL is just more popular than ever. Like the fans feel like every game matters. And, you know, it's just really easy to watch their games. There's not a lot of friction involved there. So I think, you know, there's some lessons the NBA can maybe take from the NFL.
That's a good point, because they've actually now, you know, started doing the streaming and try to kind of take that next step into that aspect too, but they've been able to partner it, right? I mean, you give the local TV stations an opportunity to televise games that are just on stream, like on Prime or on Monday Night Football, which is on ESPN. Local stations get a chance to do that. So they almost double dip, right? I mean, you get to not only get the big TV package with streamers or providers, but also they charge local stations to be able to do that as well. So again, to your point, it's happening and we almost do it already. At some point, the NBA is just trying to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, to your point, I think there has been, you know, good interest in the city this year. And like, you know, I'm at the Blender every night. I haven't missed a home game this year. Like it really is rocking in there. Like there's an atmosphere. I mean, it was fun even against that game against Chicago, like Miami. I mean, there's juice in the building, especially, you know, post All-Star break in this home stretch.
Yeah, you can feel it, man. There's a final 60 seconds here. Just obviously you got Indiana twice. We'll see what takes place tonight. But you mentioned back at the Blender on Friday, all these games are so important. Only 23 left. By the time they come back, it'll be 22 left. And some of those at home, that last home stand there to open up April, Christian, really stands out to me.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I think CJ McCollum has talked about the formula. It's like, we got to win at home. We got to beat the sub 500 teams. Like that is the Pelicans' pathway towards, you know, getting a top six seed. I think that's kind of their goal. Don't have to mess around with the play in good shape right now. But look, it's looking like, you know, only one of like, no, I'm sorry, two of like the Pelicans, Mavericks, Suns and Kings are going to make the playoffs outright. You know, two of those other teams are going to have to deal with the play in. It's scary out there in the West. It's not like the East.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why it was so important, Jim, to win that game last night. You can't have a four-game losing streak. You can't have, you know, long streaks of not winning.
Yeah.
You're going to go left and right. And I got to get your take on that. Did you see how Cleveland beat Dallas? I mean, that miraculous shot there is incredible, right?
Yeah, and for Dallas to go ahead with like 2.5 seconds left, only to lose on Max Strus's, you know, bomb. It did remind me a little bit of Devontae Graham's game winner against OKC a few years ago. I mean, Devontae, I think, had some distance on Max Strus, but it did remind me of that a little bit. That was an incredible moment. Underrated Pelicans moment of the past few years.
I'm sure it wasn't humorous to the Mavericks themselves, but it was funny to watch the reactions of their faces on the bench when the ball went in. I mean, one small, maybe big difference between Devontae's shot and this one, though, was I think the Pelicans were tied in the game. So if Devontae misses it and you expect it to miss, game goes to overtime.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mavericks had this game won, and then the Cavs needed a 60-footer to win the game. Yeah, that was just incredible.
It's a standing spot difference, too. And if you listen to the television broadcast, the play-by-play guy goes, oh, no, oh, no. The color guy says they need to review it. I can only imagine if that would have been graphed, things would have been broken, Christian. Somehow, who knows what would have happened there. You know,
Graf is freaking out when the Pelicans are up like 15 points in some 100%
in the second quarter.
100%. Yes. Yeah. You should spend an entire game with a headset on trying to cut those highlights. Christian Clark covers the Pelicans and the NBA for the Advocate Picayune at @CClark_13 is the way to give a follow, man. Appreciate it as always. Thank you for your time today, bud.
All right, man. Don't let Jim's ego get out of control. Okay.
He's going to go practice 60-foot shots at there's no one here.
I don't even
need court. He's just going to go do it right now.
I don't even need to practice them. I got it down.
I love it. Thank you, Christian. Our thanks to Christian Clark. It's always a fun time when we chat there. And I'm going to push this. No one's going to ask me, but I know where the staircase is. It's just to the right. I think you need your own digital channel, like your Manning cast, the Eichenhofer cast. What do you think?
I think I need to sign you as
my
agent.
But you have to wear a funny hat. You have to wear like the Pelicans hat there. The one that gave away.
Oh, the Pierre hat?
Yeah, the Pierre hat. Yes, you need to wear the Pierre hat while the game is going on. You need to scream like screaming A, and every now and then, just like for the heck of it, like a bike horn. Just, you know, what do you think?
I like your creativity here, Gus. This is something that we're going to have to meet about after the show, and we can really get down some ideas and really, I think we have a good start here just with your brainstorming.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the best ideas he had was Western Conference Wednesday, which tells us about a team that we want to keep an eye on in the Western Conference.
You know what, Gus?
How about all of them? I'll just save you the time. All of them. They're all the
at least 5 through 8 you need to pay attention to. And speaking of which, you know, I'm wondering if we need to start looking at, is there a Western Conference team to watch curse? Because the Mavericks were the team to watch this week, and they got beaten by a 59-foot shot by Max Strus at the buzzer. So I'm happy that I was able to work some magic on them. They went 1-2 last week. They got a very good win at home against Phoenix. Then they lost at Indiana on Sunday, and then, like I said, they lost at the buzzer to the Cavaliers. So 1-2. They're one and a half games behind the Pelicans right now. Really, you know, the difficult schedule that they had, I kind of anticipated this or thought it was possible, but the fact that they had a pretty challenging slate definitely helped the Pelicans gain some ground on them, even though the Pelicans didn't necessarily have a great last 7 days either with splitting the 4 games that they've had so far. So keep an eye on that. Dallas is, like I said, 1.5 behind the Pelicans. The tiebreaker is still up in the air. We're going to get into that more later in the regular season when some of these division games that both Dallas and New Orleans are playing. The team that I'm going to try to jinx and curse this week over the next 7 days as the team to watch is the Sacramento Kings. They're 33-24, which is 1 game behind the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. They're actually tied in the loss column, but the Pelicans have played 2 more games, which has been kind of, it seems like for a long stretch, the Pelicans have had more games in hand than the Kings have played. But part of why I picked the Kings this week over these next 7 days is, again, similar to Dallas last week, their schedule is very interesting. The Kings are at Denver tonight, which they actually won in Denver recently, so it's not like they can't pull off a win there, but nonetheless a difficult game against the defending champions. So Wednesday at Denver, Friday at Minnesota, and then Monday they play at home against the pesky Chicago Bulls. So 2 pretty tough road games against 2 of the top 4 teams in the West, followed by a game against Chicago, which is a confounding team right now, considering that they just lost to Detroit at home after they had beaten the Pelicans Sunday in New Orleans.
All right, well, let's see what takes place. Jim Eichenhofer, give him a follow, Pelicans.com, and on X, Jim_Eichenhofer, and soon some sort of digital channel. It'll be free.
I'm looking forward to that. Maybe this will be an off-season project that I get ready for.
You may have to pay people to watch it, but it won't be subscription.
Oh,
that's
man.
For sure.
See, you hype it up and you build it up and then you throw that in at the end.
No, I will be there with you. I will be there with you for sure. No, it's always fun. Hey, thank you for tuning us in. We'll see you again on Friday on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. Pick up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.